This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
They go to compete. They can't win that job. They're going somewhere else because they feel like they should be playing instead of just sitting on the bench. As you point out in your article, how can you sell to an NFL scout, yeah, I decided to sit on the bench for 3 years versus going to try to play somewhere? When do you think that narrative started?
I don't know when it began. It's certainly an old school narrative. To me, it's a little bit of a get off my lawn type of mentality. But I think, y'all are out there on the West Coast, Pac-12. I think Max Brown is a fascinating example.
Right.
I mean, he threw for ungodly yardage, 10,000 yards in his final two seasons in high school. He had 14-0 in his senior season. Played basketball. He was mobile enough. You know, he was like all the boxes. He checked them off. And he goes to USC, and understandably, they have a loaded quarterback room. He sits behind a couple guys for 3 years and 4 years, even, I guess. Redshirt junior, he finally plays and ends up not looking good in game one. And back behind him is Sam Darnold, who takes over, and the rest is history there. He transfers to Pitt, and he, you know, six games in, gets injured. That's a career. And look, maybe Max Brown is a huge bust. Maybe we all got it wrong, and he wasn't as good as everyone thought he was, and that could very well be the case. But there's also the fact that, hey, maybe Max Brown, had he gotten on the field by his redshirt freshman year and actually had a chance to get comfortable in the role of a starting quarterback and see live bullets and develop, there's no telling what he becomes. Another example, my high school quarterback is a guy named Engel Martin, who played at Florida, was recruited by Steve Spurrier, played under Spurrier for a year. Ron Zook showed up. Chris Leak was recruited under Zook. Engel never got a shot. They put Leak in. Engel transferred to Furman, played for an FCS national championship, gets drafted, plays a couple years in the NFL. I was talking to him not too long ago, and he was like, man, I tell my guys, go somewhere where you can play. Because that's why we get into the game of football. You know, we want to play. There's no honor in just sort of going riding the bench for someone just because you sign an LOI with them. Like, play the game that you love to play, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing particularly at the quarterback position. Again, that's unique because there's only one of them. And if you're going to run from if you're not happy, you're not the starting defensive tackle, but you're not happy with a substitutional role or rotational role. And yeah, I think that's a knock. Like, yeah, maybe you're running from competition or don't want to compete. Mm-hmm. But if you're a quarterback and you're on the field, go somewhere where you can get on the field, particularly if you feel like you have NFL ability and have those sort of aspirations.
A hypothetical for you, because it's something that's long been talked about and I think should be enacted, is getting rid of the sit out for a year if you transfer rule. I know you grad transfers can go wherever they want, but a lot of guys now, you go earlier than that, you got to sit out for a year. If that rule is ever taken away and guys are able to transfer freely, how much does that affect something like this?
I mean, it's huge, particularly the quarterback position. I mean, again, because that is the position where, you know, depth chart matters the most. And I sort of showed my hand a little bit here. Y'all could probably guess. Like, I'm typically in favor of sort of players' rights on that front and freeing those guys up. I mean, it drives me crazy when coaches put restrictions on where these guys can transfer. I think that there's some, you know, it's a little bit of a Pandora's box. You want to find a way to have some restriction or some sort of incentive to allowing those transfers. But I, for the most part, when it comes to sort of allowing guys to get the most out of this one opportunity of playing college football, I'm all for giving them some freedoms to move around. And, the knock is there as well. Hey, coaches do it. Why can't the players, who, again, really only have a one shot at this thing? So, yeah, let's see what happens. And maybe it is a free-for-all, but we'll learn to adjust to that as well.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I want to ask you this before we let you go. The names that you put down on this article, let's include Hunter Johnson. Jacob Eason, I don't believe, can play this year because of transfer. But Kyler Murray, Shea Patterson, Blake Barnett. Which one of those, and you could take Eason, you could take Hunter Johnson, which one do you think is ultimately going to end up having the biggest impact, the new school?
That's a great question. It's a tough question, though, because I think, you know, I think Austin Kendall is a pretty good backup for Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray is I'm still not sold that he's sort of, bought into being a quarterback or more so than being an athlete. I think I'm also a bigger believer than Brandon Peters than a lot of people are in Michigan. I think I'm going to go Jacob Eason. I know it's not this year, but I think next year they're setting the table, it feels like, for him to step in and really have a major impact at Washington. I think they're building for playoff runs perennially there. And there seems to be some really positive buzz coming out of that program right now. So I think all those guys have a chance to have big-time seasons. And I know the Michigan fans are over the moon excited to see what Shea Patterson can do. And he's got a ton of upside. But I've got a hunch that this is going to be the right fit for Jacob Eason.
All right. Hey, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Nashville, but I get all over the place.
You said Nashville?
Yes.
Okay, great. Are you an SEC honk?
Well, I grew up in Nashville, and the only SEC team here is Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So when Vanderbilt is your best option, it's hard to be a homer there. So I played football up at Yale, so that got me out of the region a little bit.
There you
go. And so I feel like I got a little bit of Nashville objectivity.
All right, well, there we go. A super smart SEC honk. You don't get those
that?
All the time. We'll have to get you on when college football season comes back around. We appreciated the time, Barton. Thanks so much.
Let's do it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. Good stuff. Barton Simmons, CBS Sports. He is a national college football writer and covers recruiting for 24/7. He's a national scouting director. It is interesting, the opinion, and people were texting in like the opposite thing of what he was saying during that interview. These kids are too scared. They just want to bail. They can't handle competition. I don't understand that line of thinking. Like, doesn't it make sense that if a kid says, oh, I'm going to the school and then doesn't win out, the smart thing would be to go somewhere where you do play versus being on the bench?
Isn't being on the field also competing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
against the other teams.
It's right. The one position. Look, if you're a 5-star linebacker,
you're going to play.
And let's
you'll
say
crack
you're
the
a middle,
rotation yeah, or be a starter.
Yeah. Let's say you're a middle linebacker, but they've got a, a senior 2-time All-American there before. You can go to an outside linebacker. Maybe you're a nickel backer
you're
for
a
your
third
freshman
down guy
year and
or
you
whatever.
Learn and eventually. But only one quarterback really plays at a time. It's such a unique position that unless you have Spurrier who's going to do something weird and alternate quarterbacks on every play or series, you want to play. The only way you can make hay as a quarterback, and, all quarterbacks for the most part feel like they want a shot to play professional somewhere, you have to get on the field and play.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this a little more. We'll do that next. To his
tonic and hey, coming up in 10 minutes, yes, it is back. Kneeling in the National Football League.
Oh,
it's back.
My favorite topic.
It's back in the news.
Oh, I've been waiting and waiting. It's like Christmas.
I know. It feels good to talk about it again, doesn't it?
I got a notification on my phone, and I said, I cannot wait to hear myself be called a snowflake.
We will talk about that coming up in 10 minutes. Also, another football topic we still have to get to. If you're Nick Foles, would you rather be the starter in Cleveland or the backup in Philly?
This is the easiest question to answer.
I agree.
Easiest.
We'll get to that in the final hour. Also, stat or story. But we just got done talking about the epidemic, if you will, of 5-star quarterbacks transferring from one program to another. It's happening all over college football. Barton Simmons joined us of CBS and 24/7. And he highlights all the guys that have done it. The latest was Hunter Johnson. He's a Clemson kid. Highly touted quarterback, 5-star kid, but he is going to transfer because Clemson has Kelly Bryant back for one more year, and Kelly Bryant might even lose the job to incoming freshman Trevor Lawrence, who is reportedly a stud and dominated their spring game. And so this guy's like, all right, I'm third on the depth chart. A guy younger than me is probably jumped ahead of me. He killed it in the spring game, and I should go look somewhere else to play. Washington has seen this with Jacob Eason. He came from Georgia. Kyler Murray from A&M to Oklahoma. Shea Patterson from Ole Miss to Michigan. Blake Barnett's transferred all over the place now at this point. So it's going on all over college football. And I think we're all in agreement, and most listeners, at least, who have texted in, have been in agreement of the competing narrative is just laughable. Like, these guys, for the most part, they go to a school where they realize it's going to be a really tough competition. If you're going to Clemson or Georgia,
do you think they realize that, though?
I do think they realize that. Like, if you're going to a place like that, you're not just going to be handed a job. You're going to have to beat out some really highly touted kids for that gig. They compete. They realize they only have 4 years of eligibility, and most of them don't want to waste 2 or 3 years of eligibility waiting to be the starting quarterback. Therefore, they go compete for a starting job at another school. This narrative of competing just cracks me up.
Well, that's why I won't be shocked that if Jalen Hurts, because I think Jalen Hurts still thinks he has a shot to beat out.
Which is stupid, because did you see his spring game performance?
And I didn't,
but I did. And it was awful.
Really?
Awful.
Well, how do you say the kid's last name? Tagovailoa?
Tua Tagliova.
I shouldn't have asked you.
Yeah.
If he can't beat Tua out, though, I'm not going to be stunned at all. Fall ball, he's transferring. He's gone.
Or changing positions. Because that well, might be the best course of action.
Might not be the worst thing. This is, I guess, my question to the people that believe the logic is that they don't want to compete. Because we even heard this from one of our coworkers, Marcus, he just finished playing football at Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
He is maybe 23 or 24 years old. He said that. Oh, they don't want to compete anymore. These guys don't want to compete. But, like, how is riding Pine versus wanting to go somewhere where you play?
Mm-hmm.
How is staying somewhere competing?
You're frustrated because a teammate's leaving, and I could understand that. Hey, you turn your back on your teammates kind of thing.
Marcus McMarion, I would ask him because he's friends with him. I say, did Marcus McMarion not want to compete?
No, he made a smart decision because he turned out to be the starting quarterback at Fresno State, and I believe he actually had a decent year last year.
A really good season for them.
What about another Oregon State example of Richard Mullaney? Did he not want to compete anymore?
Right. He went to Alabama and won a national championship.
Oh, that's why I don't get it. And it's the same thing with coaches, because Saban did this with Blake Barnett. When Barnett transferred, he said he's turned his back on the guys. He doesn't want to be a competitor. We just want him to stick around and fight.
Right.
But when Mullaney says, hey, I'm a pretty good wide receiver, can I come to your program? He has no problem accepting him with open arms.
Anybody else in their field, if you think you have the ability to be in a higher position, you're doing what it takes, right?
Yes.
Some people are willing to move.
Yes.
Some people will go to a different company close to them. Doesn't matter. You're going to do what it takes to put yourself in the best position. I think, like, by definition, that is competing. You're competing to find a place where you'll play.
I know.
And then you're going to go to that place and compete and win the starting quarterback job so you can compete on Saturdays to compete being a top pick in the draft.
Well, there's two other things. I mean, I'm wondering if it ever gets to the point of recruits understanding this and maybe spreading out the talent a little bit more, because there's smaller programs that could benefit from this of, you know, your middle of the road 7-5 kind of program saying,
Oregon State.
Saying, hey, either be a transfer to our school, or hey, why would you want to go sit behind 2 5-star kids at Georgia or Alabama when you can come in, buddy? We'll hand you the reins from day one. This is your program for 4 years. Come be the guy here, break all sorts of conference records, and then go to the next level. We've seen quarterbacks have success at the next level no matter where they play in college. So it's not like you have to go to Alabama to be a good NFL quarterback. So I'm wondering if recruits ever let that sink into their mind of, maybe I do just want to go be the guy right away somewhere.
Winning national championships is fun. And A.J. McCarron is now going to get a starting gig in the NFL. I don't know how some of these high school kids don't look at Alabama and go, yeah, I don't need to go there to be an NFL quarterback, clearly.
Right.
I actually kind of look at the situation in Seattle, and I find that one, if I'm a Husky fan, you're wondering who's going to lose out, because you're not keeping all those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jake Browning this year.
Sure, he's your guy this year, one more year.
He is, right. There are rave reviews about Eason being in that facility.
Yep.
Sounds like he is going to be the guy if he, you know, shows up and lives up to the billing next year. And then I think they recruited 2 4-star kids, or 1 5 and 1 4-star kid. But they've got 2 other quarterbacks behind him.
Yeah.
You're not keeping all those.
No. After 2 years, 3 of those guys will be gone.
I think by next year, 1 is going to be gone, or maybe both are gone. They're
sure.
Like, well, Eason's going to be starting. I don't want to wait another year. I'm gone. So you have situations, Clemson, Washington, these places where kids both, you know, multiple kids commit and they go, and maybe they think, oh, I'm going to compete and I'm going to win. Or maybe it's like somebody pointed on the text line. Everybody tells these kids how amazing and great they are.
And they think, go get the job.
They may just think the job is theirs, especially with, we don't know those conversations that go on with the coach.
Maybe the coach tells them that too, yeah.
I don't blame any of these kids for wanting to transfer. I never have looked at a player and gone, oh, God.
Way to quit on your team.
No heart. Stick it out.
Yeah. You could have the same problem at Oregon in the next year or two as well. I mean, Burmeister could be an easy candidate to transfer. Because if Herbert, especially if Herbert sticks around for two more years, which likely won't happen.
He would.
But Shuck is the highly touted kid that just came in. What if Shuck beats out Burmeister next year to be the starter? You just signed the Millen kid from up in the Seattle area. You could be the third string guy.
I'd be shocked if Shuck wasn't ahead of Burmeister at some point.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that answer. I don't know that yet. But you see the writing on the wall and you want to go somewhere else. So interesting conversation. We've seen it happen a lot and it's affecting Pac-12 programs.
I do wish, and this isn't like an original thought, everybody's kind of thrown this out. I do wish they'd eliminate the sitting out rule.
They should.
Now, if you want to limit it, I'm all for that. You shouldn't be allowed to go somewhere else every year. But I wish you'd at least maybe get one where you say, all right, you can play right away. You're eligible.
Yeah, one freebie.
Yeah.
One freebie.
And if you do it a second time, maybe you're limited. Even if you have 2 years eligibility, you only get one or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Hey, the kneeling issue is back in the National Football League. Did the NFL handle it the right way? Get into that next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
You ask what's the difference in the past, and this is just executing at crunch time.
Who's feeling the heat?
When you win, it's the greatest feeling in the world, and when you lose, it's the lowest feeling in the world.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 per month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership?
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? I was at the Glorious House of Gaines this morning.
Let's go!
Didn't see you there, you lazy bum.
I was there. I looked right at you.
I don't think you did. I don't think you were.
I was a mirror guy today.
Oh, you went mirror guy?
Chest try back day.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Nice. We did like this. He got one of these boards that you put booties on, and it's like you simulate ice skating kind of thing. It's like a slide board or something.
Oh, like in heavyweights.
Aren't they called balance boards?
Maybe balance boards?
Yes.
Not going to lie. It was really hard. A lot of fun.
Right.
A lot of fun. Right. It's like I have a new appreciation for boxers. New appreciation for hockey players. Not easy.
I always appreciated them.
All sorts of muscles in your legs. You're like, that's an actual muscle. There's something there.
There's a muscle behind your knee.
You're supposed to use that every once in a while. We'll get to Nick Foles' final hour of the show, Statter Story as well. We did have a listener text in the last segment. You guys don't want to talk about it. We don't want to hear about it. Let's just all agree. Nobody bring it up and we'll move on. He has then said, thanks for letting me know I have changed radio stations.
Oh, he texted that in first. I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if you don't know what we're talking about and your thoughts are always welcome on this topic, 55305.
Remember, we love you.
We love everyone. Let's keep this civil. Let's keep this above board, please. The kneeling issue is back in the National Football League. Just when you thought we were out, they pulled us back in.
Yes, they did.
So all the owners unanimously approved a new national anthem policy today that requires players to stand if they are on the field during the performance, but it gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. Roger Goodell had this to say: we want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something we think we owe, but we're also very sensitive to give players choices. So you can either stand or you can keep your ass in the locker room. Don't come out, please. What do we make of this decision?
I loved the – somebody pointed out, I guess, last year he was asked, and he basically said them kneeling shouldn't question their patriotism. And then they came out this year and said, if you don't stand, you're in trouble.
Art Rooney, by the way. Art Rooney the second?
Yeah, the second.
Yeah, he said if you stand and hold up your fist – disrespectful.
Okay.
If you stand and link arms.
Right.
No. That is disrespectful.
If I'm not mistaken, I think some teams too, to make this fair, I think some teams are actually closing. I saw it's on Twitter, so it may not be true. So
okay.
Take this a grain of salt.
Sounds true.
Some teams might be closing their concessions during the national anthem so fans can't be moving and quote unquote disrespecting the flag themselves.
Well, that's always the easy retort for this, is the players have to stand, but how many fans go get beers or taking a crap or walking to the bathroom and going out in the corridors and talking on their cell phone?
Dan Wetzel said it really well today. This whole thing has just been so weird.
Very weird.
It's so damn weird to me, dating back to when it happened, to the reaction, to the response, to, I mean, just every little part of this, the president, I mean, it's just all of it has been really stinking weird to me.
Well, and they still don't have uniformity amongst the owner ranks. Jed York abstained from the vote.
Yeah.
And then the...
Why'd he abstain, though?
Because he didn't want to vote for
he didn't want
that backlash from his fans. Right,
that's exactly what it was. It wasn't
Jed
like
York,
the acting CEO. This is
you
the
didn't like
part.
It. You vote against it.
The acting CEO of the Jets is Woody Johnson's brother.
Yes.
Woody Johnson cannot manage the team because he was selected President Trump to the ambassador to somewhere.
Right.
And so Christopher Johnson has come out and said, he will not enforce the rule amongst his own team. If there are any fines or discipline from the league, the team will pay them, not the individual player.
So the owner...
But that's the other thing, too, on this, by the way.
He's working with Trump, and he's basically...
No. This is, the owner is an ambassador.
The owner's an ambassador.
It's his brother is running the team.
But isn't he still giving insight into how to run it?
No, he just owns it. He has
so
no...
So his brother basically said, I don't care that you like the president.
That doesn't matter to me.
I'm doing what I want to do.
But the other, I mean, I'm glad you brought up the fine part. That's the other thing. So they have this big unanimous vote saying we're going to fine you. How much? How often?
I think you're going to get fined.
Do you fine the player? Do you fine the team?
Does it get progressive as if you've had... You know, numerous helmet-to-helmet hits versus you're a first-time offender.
You're a fourth-time kneeler. That's going to be a $50,000 fine.
This is not going to end well. This is a PR battle. I don't think the owners can ultimately win. And I don't know why they felt the need to actually put a policy in writing.
Well, you know,
it does them more harm than good.
How much they're going to get fined? I think they're going to fine them a decent amount to not have this happen. What I wonder is, do they take this now to apparel on the field? You see players wear cleats and they get fined for them. Do they put messages on stuff now? And I think there are other ways some players may take that, or maybe they don't. Maybe they just react to something. My response to the ownership group, the NFL.
Well, that you're not allowed to do. You'll get a fine. You remember.
That's what I just said. They get fined for cleats. I just wonder if they don't care and they say, all right, the
take
fine's heavier for kneeling.
Yeah.
I'll wear some on my cleats. Here's the simple response. You don't want players to kneel. Okay, it's your business. I'm not going to tell you how to run it.
You do you, boo.
Just don't have them out there. It's really not hard. If you're not going to talk to the NFLPA, which they didn't, by the way.
No, they didn't.
And you hate the kneeling, don't have the players out there. Don't make this an option. Don't divide locker rooms. Just say, keep your ass in the locker room like you did pre-2009. We'll do the anthem, then we'll do the starting lineups and announce you coming out on the field. It really is that simple to where you could appease both sides. Now, you'll get the extreme snowflakes that think you should protest any and everywhere, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get the other side that, you know, has their opinions on things. Simple fix for everybody kind of in the middle or just barely differing.
Which is where we most are.
Don't have them out there. You didn't before 2009.
Do people remember that?
No.
Do they remember that before 2009, NFL teams were not on the sidelines for the national anthem?
Do people know that hate this so much that the NFL pays? Or no, the NFL charges military to do the anthem?
Yes.
They love the anthem so much that they tell them they have to get paid to do it.
Yeah, you can do it, but you got to pay us. So that's where we're at. New updates.
There you go. In
the Neil Gate.
I don't think we went crazy there.
I thought we kept that pretty sane. That was pretty solid. I think the fatigue factor is serious on this one, and I totally understand it from folks.
I think we're all there, aren't we?
And that's where I just don't quite like. Swag said the term PR, which is what this is. This is a PR move. At this point, hadn't the topic kind of died down?
You gotta tell season starts.
Season starts, sure, and then it's brought back up again.
Kneeling had went down last year quite a bit.
It did. By the end of the year, I don't ever remember them showing or talking about guys kneeling before the national anthem.
Like one guy every five teams that kneeled.
Yeah.
The Dolphins tried to blame it on their season.
I know they
said we were too divided. We couldn't come together. That's why we sucked.
Or you had Jay Cutler. He sucks too.
Yeah.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? You can find out more about we're spraying our workout at crunch.com. We'll read a couple of thoughts on the other side. We won't spend much more time on this, I promise. We do have the poll question today because of a news alert yesterday. Nick Foles, if you were Nick Foles, would you rather be the starter for the Browns or the backup for the Eagles? Because apparently that was an option for him. We got to get the Statter story. There is a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, and I am jacked on Mountain Dew for that bad boy. We got a pivotal Game 5 in the Eastern Conference Finals back in Boston. Are the NBA playoffs all of a sudden exciting? Where did this come from? Load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.